We thank you, Lord, for your word, and ask your spirit to be upon us as we reflect upon it. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment in your love. We praise your name. Well, are you ready for a big year here at St. Benedict's? Yes, some people nodding. Are you ready for the Spirit to move in a new way powerfully upon us? Yes? Yes? Oh, I'm getting yeses from back here. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yeses from here too? Yeah, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Because that's what God's purpose is. That's His intention. The new thing in our midst, and He's already begun. We have some young people here who have just come back from summer school of evangelization, all renovated, all those summer school candidates, stand up, those graduates from summer school, stand up now. Come on. Yeah, look at them, hey, praise the Lord. Hey, look at them, they're all over the place, hey. That's been a beginning, and a mighty wave of the Spirit came upon us there at the Bathurst Summer School, as I was sharing last week. But now we've got Father Bonnie back from Patterson. He's been up there firing away there. The Spirit fell there too, huh? Yeah, in a powerful way. And then Father Day's been over in Perth, and the Spirit fell there too at summer school. Both those schools had about 100 candidates each, something like that. Bathurst had 200 and something rather. And then there's one in Melbourne as well. The Spirit's already been moving, right? Because God wants to always do a new thing. We heard, did we not, in the Gospel, who Jesus is. John the Baptist is pointing him out. First of all, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," huh? And then he says, "I'm not fit to undo the sandal strap of the one who's to come after me," because he's the one who you see will be baptized in the Spirit, as we celebrated a couple of weeks ago, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, where the dove will come upon him, the Spirit will come down upon him, and then he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So you're ready for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit? This is the Lord's promise to us, always deepening and in our empowerment in the Spirit of God. He doesn't leave us at a certain level of complacency and sluggishness in the heat of summer, give me another fan type of thing. But he always does a deeper work in us if we're open to receive his Holy Spirit again and again and again. I think I shared with you when we were in the upper room in Jerusalem in November, I had the opportunity of being with 200 other charismatic leaders in the upper room, the place where the first Holy Pentecost occurred. And we had this wonderful moment, of course, of eruptive praise. It's just one place where you'd need to praise God and can't stop but praising God. And then Bruce Yoakam, who's a sort of a prophet from way back in the renewal, stood up and gave a prophecy, and a very simple prophecy. He said, "You have already received the Holy Spirit. You have already received my Spirit," God says. "But you will receive again and again, and I will continue to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. And I will pour my Spirit upon you again and again and again." It was with great emphasis that there was a proclamation of a perpetual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the great feeling was that God, all that he's done in the last 40 years in the renewal, he's really only just begun compared to what he's going to do in this new time. And so as we approach a new year, we can open it up to the Holy Spirit of God and call upon him to fall upon us in a new way, just as he did in Jesus in the Jordan, and send him off on mission. And the Holy Spirit will surely send us off on mission. Already we're planning a mission to go out from here to Papua New Guinea mid-year, one to go to Townsville earlier than that, one to go to Fiji, and one to go to Flores. And the brothers, the MGL brothers, are actually establishing in February, that's next month, establishing a permanent mission in Indonesia, in Flores. Yeah? So it's a new start, it's a new beginning. God's at work in our midst, stirring us up for mission, so we can go forward as he intends us to go forward. But always, when we start talking this language and look at the first reading, where clearly it's identifying Jesus as the servant who has the favour of God upon him, and so everyone who is to follow him, the church, is also the servant with the favour of God upon us. And it won't be enough to restore, to use us to restore the tribes of Jacob, the tribes of Israel, as the church in its inner life, but rather will become a light to the nations. So that, the Lord says, my salvation can go to the ends of the earth. Whoa, that's us. We're a light to the nations, and that we're going to be used for our salvation, for the salvation of God to go to the ends of the earth. And I just gave you a few examples of that. But when we hear these words, it's important for us to be stirred and desire and be eager for mission. But it's also important for us to listen to the responsorial psalm, where it says, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. We don't want to move in the flesh. We don't want to move just by our own wisdom. We don't want to move by our own lights and the things that we might be wanting to do or imagine, etc. But we want to do the will of God and live by his will. You see, our wills are stubborn and obstinate. Well, mine is, and I'm guessing yours is the same. That there's a certain obstinacy in our wills, and there's a certain way in which we want to protect ourselves from being extended too far in God's plans and purposes. We prefer to sort of like a comfortable little sort of place where we can just settle down and just, you know, hunky-dory Christianity, pretty comfortable, not too much that's going to call me on. Our wills can be like that. But are we willing to put our wills on the altar and allow ourselves to be broken with Jesus, who on the cross cries out, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And earlier he'd struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, really struggling inside himself, because he knew that it was going to cost him a lot. It will cost us a lot if we're going to become a missionary church. It will cost us much. And we feel that within ourselves, and we shrink back and say, oh no, that's for the professionals, leave it to them, I'm not part of this at all. I don't want to be stirred up to go beyond my comfort zone, thank you very much. And so we're a bit like that. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane struggled in his humanness, and he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup go from me. But your will, not mine, be done. That's the crunch. Do I really want the will of God to be done in my life? And the will of God is certainly the salvation of all men and women. It's certainly that God will, if we surrender to him, impel us in some way to go outside of our comfort zone and some way to go beyond what would be normally the thing that we sort of like to do and find ourselves comfortable in doing. He'll lift that from us a bit more and give us the power to go forward if we will surrender to him. You see, in that psalm, it's a beautiful psalm. It goes on to sort of say, the Lord's saying, what I want is not sacrifice and offerings, but he wants you. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, I don't bring to you sacrifice and offerings, yet an open ear. I don't bring to you a holocaust of victims, but rather, here am I. So in other words, I'm not just going to bring you my ritual here and say, look, I've done being a good Catholic because I've been to Mass again, but rather I'm going to say, here am I. I'm in your hands, Lord. Do with me what you will. I'm available for whatever way that you want to use me for your purposes, for your kingdom. You see, that's a different attitude, isn't it? That's an attitude of surrendered heart to God. And I think this big grace of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's what it brings. It really brings a surrender of heart, where I no longer am just about doing my own will, but I'm willing to say, Lord, what you want is what I'll do. I open it up to you, Lord God. I surrender myself to you. I've been speaking a bit about my journey to the Holy Land. Here I go again. When I was in Nazareth, I had a wonderful experience. Because you see, when I first experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, there were two figures who were important to it, two spiritual figures. One was the Blessed Virgin Mary, because the preacher who convinced me I should open up to this big grace said to me, you need to be able to say, you've heard me say this before, I cannot, but then you need to be able to say, yes. Yes, Lord, you can. And make your yes the same as that of the Blessed Virgin Mary, when she said, let it be done to me according to your will. When she knew that it was impossible what was being suggested to her by the angel, but let it be done to me according to your will. And so that was part of my surrender when I opened up to the big grace of the baptism of the Spirit, was making a yes in union with that of the Blessed Virgin Mary and asking her for the grace to have the same surrender to the Holy Spirit that she had. And that was very important. And here I was then in Nazareth where it all happened. That's where she made the yes, you see. And so I'm there in the Basilica of Nazareth on my knees, joining myself with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Say, well, what's next? You know, I surrender to whatever is next in God's plan and purpose, you see. So that was very important to me to be able to do that. Then there was a further figure that was part of my experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. His name is Charles de Foucault. I don't know whether you've ever heard of Charles de Foucault. And that was very important to me because at the time of my baptism of the Holy Spirit, Mary was important, but so was this man, because I was given the prayer of abandonment of Charles de Foucault. And I was to pray that prayer of abandonment, which is a prayer of surrendering to the will of God in everything. This is the grace, my friends. If we're going to be taken forward as God wants to take us forward in the new evangelization, as is his purpose and his plan, we need to come before him with a sense of wanting to do his will and placing ourselves before him in self-abandonment, in humility and obedience before God, and say, Lord, here I am. I come to do your will. I'm not just going to bring the sort of outward sacrifice of the ritual here, but I'm going to be united with Jesus on the cross. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I'm going to be united with the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation where she says, let it be done to me according to your will. I'm going to be united with the prayer of Charles de Foucault and his abandonment prayer. So that's my invitation tonight. It's very simple. But I do believe God has a big purpose for us, way beyond ourselves. We've already sent out many missionaries to many places in Australia and beyond from this little gathering here. But God would want us to be surrendered to him for the further thing that he wants to do. Not to be afraid of him. He'll never ask you to do anything beyond yourself. Well, he'll take you beyond yourself, but he will never ask you to do anything that will make you miserable or somehow or other take you down. But he will always bring you to that place that where you're most meant to be and where you'll most be fulfilled. But you need to open your life to him and allow him to be the Lord even more so. So my invitation then is to pray this prayer of Charles de Foucault. Are you going to do this? It's up to you. But it's a prayer of abandonment. I'll read it through first, and then you can decide whether you want to pray it, okay? So this is it here. It's very simple. It's to God the Father. You see, that psalm is addressed to God the Father, but notice how the psalm begins. It says, I waited for the Lord, so I waited for God the Father. And he heard my cry. He stooped down to me and he lifted me up from the miry clay. And he put a new song into my mouth, a song of praise to my God. This is our loving Father God. You can only pray this prayer when you know that he is a loving Father not one that's going to do you in if you give your life over to him, but one who will lift you up and carry you forward in a beautiful way, way beyond what you could have expected, and give you a joy and a freedom way beyond what you really knew you could have because you've surrendered yourself into his hands. So I'll just read it, and then you can decide whether you want to pray it with me. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I'm ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, because you are my Father. So this is a prayer to Abba, Father, Daddy. I think I spoke about that last week, I'm not sure. Where we are surrendering our hands into the loving Father, sending our lives into the loving Father's hands. We're giving ourselves over to him and his will in our lives. So we're with Jesus. This is a secret of Jesus. He was totally obedient to the Father unto death. He did not cling to his equality with the Father, but he emptied himself, taking on the condition of a slave, becoming like us in all things but sin. Then he was obedient unto death on the cross. This is his self-emptying love. His abandonment to God. And it's really the heart of the Christian message, is the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. And if you feel you want to pray this prayer with me, you can just kneel. And then with that, we'll pray it together. I'll read it out for you and you pray it with me. It's a personal thing, and don't feel you have to do that if you're not, don't feel you're ready. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord, and need to give myself to you, to surrender myself into your hands, without reserve, and with boundless confidence, because you are my Father. Thank you, Lord.